Spirit and honor Him. Heart to heart, spirit to spirit. Worship leads to different things, and sometimes it follows a specific pattern, like what we see where this song comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and the prophet is looking and he's seeing God, like we were imagining just now, but he's seeing God in all His glory with the angels saying holy. But then as he sees God, he also sees himself. And when he looks at the glory of God and then realizes who he is in comparison, he says, woe is me, because I am not like you. He says, woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And now he knows the great difference between God and him. But he comes with an honesty, and he allows himself to be broken, and he prays it up. He says, I'm lost, Lord, I'm broken. And it's at that moment that his restoration starts. Because God then sends an angel, and the angel touches him and starts to repair him with grace. Folks, I don't know if worship always does the full circle when we do it. For a moment, let's behold His glory, but also be able to point out to our own brokenness and fallenness. And if you are humble enough to say it, your reparation starts. What do you want to lift before Him this morning? As you were singing to Him, was there maybe an area of your own life that you just reminded it's not there, it's broken, it's fixed, it needs to be fixed, or it's stuck in sin? Won't you take the courage to say, Lord, I am a man with unclean lips, or I am a man with a heart that's been polluted, or I am a man with a foul mouth, or I am a man? Because the moment you can say it as a cry for help, restoration has already begun. So let's allow for a moment of restoration in this place. And it's also a moment of repentance. As a congregation, let's not be afraid to repent. Just where you are standing, in your own words, bring up broken areas of your life to the Lord and hold it up before Him. Let's pray, church. Let's pray in this place. Repairer of the broken, we worship you this morning. O great shepherd who leads to life, the one who knows how to feed us well, we adore you this morning in this place. Just sense, I need to say to maybe a couple of people, you are in safe hands when you fall into the hands of God. And maybe there's one or two people here, you've exhausted every area, every road, every relationship, and it hasn't worked. And the only option you have left is to go to God. You have fallen into good hands. Trust Him. Lord, this morning as we hear your word, we pray for restoration to continue. We want to thank you for moments of worship where we can sing. Sometimes, Lord, when it exposes our hearts, it's painful to see, Lord, our sin. But when your light shines on it and the warmth of healing sets in, we know that is exactly where we want to be. On a journey with you. We bless you this morning. Sê vir die Here vanoggend dankie vir iets in jou lewe waarvoor jy dankbaar is. Just take a moment to come before him in gratitude. Sometimes we are so good at naming and calling out that which we have lost that we forgive to give thanks for that which is still in our hands. Thank you, Lord, for every grace given. We honor you in this place. And everyone said, Amen. Churches, it's important to remember when we come here together here, it's not about shofar. And it's not about the pastor or the band. It is about gathering under the King. Isn't that true? And bringing our hearts to him and worshiping our lungs out, whether it is our choice of set list or not. It's not about us, amen. It is about him. The worship team and the serving team that's here will know why I have such a nervous laugh. Because when we opened my sermon for the first church service, we realized the file got corrupted and nothing changed. So I went without notes and it was fun and exhilarating, but I'm still going without notes because I can't rewrite in 15 minutes between services what was written for the whole week. But I got the main points up for you. Thank you, team, for picking that up. You know, Pastor Andres has warned me about this. He said, you must print out your sermon like I do. So tomorrow morning he's going to tell me, I told you so. But I think the church actually enjoyed seeing me struggle here in front, so they won't mind me losing it again. Then it needs to come from the heart. Amen? Yes, Marie Bulle het daar mooi gespeel. Woo. Yeah, Andrew, the Sharks also. Now, I just had to say this. I've got a few customers here that I know wants to hit me at this moment. But Wilhelm's my bodyguard here in front. So. Oh, he's going to punch you first. Guys, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Isn't that true? It's just something that the Lord is laying on Junaid and my heart also this week. Do not live with your glass half empty. Years of your life will pass. Everyone is not handed the same deck of cards. And it's so easy for us to notice that which we do not have, that someone else has. You know what? You've got your own deck of cards in your hand. And once you start picking it up, thanking God for it, you start to walk in your own calling, accomplishing that which the Lord has laid out for you. You know, one of the saddest lives lived is a life that is lived constantly wanting to have someone else's life. I want to tell each and every one of you that you were created, gifted, and released by God. We are excited. I'm excited. We all want to see that which God has placed in you. Your strength, your weaknesses, When you look back, there was times of ecstasy and joy and maybe times of pain and tears. You know what? They all make you the gift that you are today. Some of your hardest times were there to create you into a wealth of, an agent of richness and wealth to give and minister to others. Amen? Building on Christ, part 11, is one of those sermons. It's not really a sermon series. It's us making our way through the Sermon on the Mount. You know what's the great thing about just taking maybe a quarter of a year and doing this? Is it gets the pastor away from all his favorite topics. You know, we all have magnetic hearts, and we tend to be drawn to the way the gospel has impacted us personally. But if we keep on feeding the church out of our own hearts, we can equip the church to be more like the preacher and not like Christ. And so when you step away every now and then and you say, we're going to go through the Bible, you put all that preferences aside and you just bring the Bible as it is. Open the Bible, ha, you put your finger down, right, let's go. Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders will be liable to judgment. You see what I mean? It's a, this is spiritually steak. That's what Pastor Andries will say. So chew it well. This is a time to focus, to meditate, because there's a wealth of wisdom here for us, but it's not on the surface level. We're going to need to dive down a little bit this morning. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to hell fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, interrupt your worship before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. It's layers of wisdom here. We're not going to touch on everything. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. It's another verse that will not go well on a birthday card. But it's part of a Bible, so we're going to read it in its context, and we're going to work with it this morning. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. It's not an easy piece of scripture. Building on Christ, the anatomy of sin. Jesus starts off and he says, you've heard it was said, you should not murder, but I say. And he says, you've heard it say, you should not commit adultery, but I say. Jesus is not judging or criticizing the law. He is, however, criticizing a shallow interpretation of the law. You see, from the beginning, God's heart was the love of Israel. To be the lover of his people, the refuge they run to, the one whose love they experience. But as time went on, especially the scribes and the Pharisees became more legalistic over time, and they would say, you know, as long as I don't commit murder, as long as I don't commit adultery, I am obeying the law of God. And Jesus is saying, you know, guys, it's love goes deeper than that. And let's talk about, let's have a conversation about that. And so Jesus is also not adding lust in your heart and thoughts to adultery as an expansion of the law. That's not what he's trying to do. He's wanting to take us deeper. He's wanting to explain how sin works so that those who are in love with him will be empowered when they learn to love him better. All right. The Sermon on the Mount is in service of the great commandment, you shall love the Lord your God. And so as Jesus brings some things to the table, here's the thing. Do not only think of what is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. Think about how to love me in the right way. Now, in order to do that, we're going to talk about the anatomy of sin. Now, I've got a little picture on there that I found in the 15 minutes between the services. Now, I studied biokinetics, and as a first-year student, one of our first subjects was simply the subject anatomy, which pertains to everything that is under your largest organ. What's the largest organ? Skin. And so if you take the skin off, voila, you've got anatomy uncovered. And so we had to know every muscle, every bone, and some of them I have forgotten along the way. But once you start like work your way around it, you start to understand and you can look at a person in a more three-dimensional way. Interesting fact, when more and more people started to work on computers, we saw the rise of a couple of posture challenges that as biokinetists we haven't faced before. One of the reasons was people would work on computers and they would not always see, or writing would be bigger and smaller. And so what they would do is that they'd look for, they'd put their face to the screen. And so what we had is the rise of what we call FHC, which is forward head carriage. So you'd see children now more than ever walk like this. All right? And older people that would sit by a computer the whole day. Now, instead of just saying, staan rechop, you can go to anatomy and figure out what has happened there. Why is the head forward? And if we can uncover it, we could help the person. So to make it very simple, some of those muscles at the back of the neck are meant to be upright. That's a good posture there. But because you're constantly there, they shorten over time, pushing the top part of your vertebrae forward. Now, lesson 101 from a vertebra, if you've got an overemphasized curve here, it compensates at another place because it's trying to keep your body upright. That's why when you go out of posture over time, you go more out of posture. And so what we needed to do is to train people, when you sit at the computer, imagine taking the back part of your head, just do that for a moment, and now gently lift it to the roof. And as you lift it to the roof, say hello to your double chin. But we would always say, rather a double chin than forward head carriage. Because you can run with a double chin and go to great mountains for a walk. But if you're going to keep on feeding that forward head carriage, you're going to have a problem in your spine and you're going to struggle to walk. So don't have that double chin, just smile. It's part of you. Go for it. Now the reason I'm saying this, so what you could do is you could go to someone that might help you manipulate those muscles. Just get your fingers in there, lengthen the muscles, get the person to sit next to a wall, make yourself tall. And over time, instead of just saying, hey, stop it, staan rechop, you could help the person fix the problem. Now, sin is in the same way. Once you understand some of the anatomy of sin, how sin works, it gives you a great head start in how to deal with it and how to be free. I also want to say this sermon is on the anatomy of sin. And sometimes as pastor, we want to go short on sin and long on forgiveness, because the truth is that Christ has come to give us victory over sin. Sin is not a problem for God. He knows how to take it out of us and how to heal us, how to help us. And he has conquered sin. This is not a sin-focused church, if you're visiting. But this sermon, we are going to look at the anatomy of sin in order to better understand what we need to conquer. Is that okay? Right, the anatomy of sin. Firstly, let's look at a couple of categories of sin. All sin, they're the same in one sense, but they're not the same in all sins. And I'm going to talk about it. You could categorize sin from a biblical perspective into these three categories. Sins of commission or sins you commit. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. That is a sin of commission. It's something you did. So you did it or you did not do it. Sin of commission. Deeds of sin, all right? Then you get attitudinal sin, or it's a big word if you say attitude, okay, just say heart sin. It's dealing with the attitudes or the motives that can start indicating direction on our hearts. This is going to be a very important role player in this scripture as we take it apart. Then we have sins of omission, to omit. All right, this is when one could say Jonah. All right, he's got a calling. God says, go. He says, I will not go. So it's not a sin you commit. It is an act of obedience that you did not step into. Now, for this section, there's not a law. Sins of omission is not included. I almost took it off, but I thought, let me just give you the wider picture. We're going to focus on sins of commission. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, where does lust take place? On the heart. Okay, and so the first two will be a part of the subject matter of this section of scripture. Ashe met mate. Right, already some of you understand sin a little bit better. Now, let's read again. Now, I want you to locate sins of commission, and I want you to locate attitudinal sin. You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Right, there it is. But now, follow me. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Now, can you see that anger is only there for one phrase? It's on the heart, and then it goes over again to sins of commission, because now you start to insult and say things to your brother, to your friend. All right, let's go on to that next slide. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Okay, there's a sin of commission. But I say to you, guys, don't only look at sins of commission. If we're going to go heart to heart, lover to lover, Christ to the one he saves, and we're going to go and do this together, it's not only about what you do. Please, I say to you that everyone who looks with a woman with lustful intent has done something to his heart. Attitudinal sin is what Jesus brings in. Now, in the world where the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were having so many laws of how to wash, how not to wash, what to do, Jesus comes in and he speaks to his disciples and he wants to take the conversation to their hearts. It's very important to him. And so I'm going to give you four things this morning from this scripture, the anatomy of sin. And the first thing is that attitudinal sin leads to sins of commission. You don't wake up one morning, hey, where did you come from? You person I'm not married to, lying in my bed. I did not realize. It doesn't work like that. 2 years before that, 10 years before that, a little seed falls on the heart. And you look to your friend's wife in a different way. It just, you look at her in a different way than what you used to. And something takes place. And if it's left, and it happens again and again, this is now a development in process. Now, I'm not saying it always leads and ends up in adultery, but what Jesus is saying already, it invokes a type of judgment. Judgment means to make a decision. What it means is a heart that harbors attitudinal sin invites a conversation that will be had with Jesus. That's tough to hear. You know, ons Afrikaners is so bly om ons doen so om so die verkeerde ding en dan sê ons, maar die Here ken ons hart. And next is, the Lord knows my heart. That's why I want to run. Everything that happens on the heart is part of the conversation that God wants to have with us. What is Jesus doing? He's taking us deeper. He wants to be with us heart to heart. It's His desire. And for now, just know that attitudinal sin, it leads to sin of commission. They cannot be left alone. Are you with me this morning? This is tough to hear. The scripture was tough. The message from it is just that tough. Don't worry, there's great grace. I just want to say, guys, I am a man repaired by grace. I'm telling you now, repaired by grace, not by works. I'm not standing here because ek doen dinge reg. That would be a lie. The Lord has found me and He's been making me a project of grace. And He wants to do the same with you. He wants to work on you, assemble you, so that you are beautiful to Him. And when this very hard conversation comes, it's an invitation for intimacy. Amen? Now, let us read that scripture again. You shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, there's also the saying, us Afrikaans people, we've got some bad sayings. And I love to take them apart and bring them to health, if that's okay. One thing we tend to say is the following. Alle sonde is dieselfde en gelyk. So moenie vir my sê, ek kan nie hierdie doen nie, want jy het jou eie sonde. Now, in one sense, there might be truth in that, but it depends on what you mean. Let me explain to you. Is Jesus saying that to have attitudinal sin on the heart, okay, hartzonde, pertaining to lust, is the same thing as committing adultery? No. It will not incur the same type of judgment or the same type of consequences. In that sense, it's not the same because the one is still young. Remember James 1, when you are tempted, sin grows. And when it is fully developed, it brings forth death. If you catch it before there, you can win a lot. All right. But it is the same in another way. It is the same in this way that lust on the heart is the infant version of adultery. So one could say, This is not a theological term. Please don't take me to Facebook. They're of the same species. Lust on the heart, looking at pornography, is of the same species of sin than at the end committing a sin of adultery. In that sense, they're the same. Are you with me? Soos wat 'n klein hond dieselfde is as 'n groot hond. But I've got a Great Dane. And if you tell me my Great Dane is the same as your Worshond, it depends on what you mean. Because when she comes around the corner, I stand against the wall. Because in her love for me, she loves to run me over. And your Worshond can never do that. But they are the same. They're both dogs. Now, okay, so they're not of the same weight, but they are of the same kind. Therefore, when you spot it in its infant age, it's easier to get rid of it. Once you have committed adultery, het jy gebakte pere en jy gaan bak. It's going to be very tough for you. It's possible, by God's grace, that your wife or husband turn their heart full of love. And that could be an incredible testimony of God's love and grace for you as a couple to share with humility. All I'm saying, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road. Jesus is saying, guys, you've heard it say committing adultery is a bad thing. I want to bring you into the heart. When you sense your heart is being drawn to a woman that's not yours, pay attention. I'm helping you here. Because if you can catch a thought and bring it to me, you'll do very well. And we can do this together. Romans 8, it says, he who is of the spirit sees the things of the spirit. But he who is of the flesh recognizes only the things of the flesh. And Jesus is calling for himself a people of the spirit. They're awake. They're vigilant. They pick things up. They come into church. They're like, what's going on here? I know I didn't kill someone last night. I know I didn't sleep around. I know I didn't rob a bank. Why am I feeling off? Searching. Wow. I am mad. Ek is kwaad vir daai persoon. Want hulle het my gespot voor ander mense. And I didn't pick it up. But as I'm coming into worship, I realize something has fallen on my heart and I'm carrying it with me. And now I'm remembering last night, ek het sommer geskree op my kinders van kwaadheid. What is the Spirit doing? He's helping you, gardening in your heart. Are you with me this morning? I forgot this in my laptop bag, the first service. Who knows what this is? Ja, ons weet, is 'n plant. Weer is 'n plant. Wat's 'n plant? Tamati. You know why I know it? You know why I know it? There's no tomatoes here. Because I've got big ones in my garden. And we harvest tomatoes every day. And I love tomatoes. That's why I know what this is. But I also love my timi and my oregano. Because they're in different pots. But you know what happens? These guys, what do? They want to take over my timi pot. And my timi sikkel bietjie meer. Het al twee keer gaan koop, so ek's ongelukkig hoor. But I see this little leaf come up in my timi pot. And I'm already angry because I don't know how many more of these I have to pull out. Because every time I need to navigate that I don't pull out parts of my timi. But I'll tell you one thing, before this thing steals all the water, I know it. Because I know what something of the same kind looks like at different ages of maturity. What Jesus is saying, is exactly this. Recognize when the enemy is making a move for your heart. And pick it up early on. How will you pick it up? How will you know? You will not know if you do not walk closely to the Lord. Yeah, it's an open target. I know it. I've got friends who does not serve the Lord, yet I pray for them. They are open targets. The things they do and say and get involved in, they don't know. There's nothing going, you can have TV, so your pa kyk die TV daar binne, né? Orkie snorkie. En dan speel jy cricket of rugby buite, dan skop jy die bal teen die antenna. Dan hoor jy, wie onthou, die TV's? Now, in your heart, that's what it feels like when you lose your peace. You're not tuned in. Now, when you are with the Lord, He gives you an antenna. It's the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. And when an intruder comes to your heart, He knocks the antenna because the Holy Spirit is a good helper. He knows how to set up the parameter. And so you will always know. But sometimes ons hardkoppig. Ek weet ons is, want ek is ook. And then we carry on, we're stubborn, but we come into church, we start to worship, you're like opening up to the Lord, and the band is taking you before the throne, and then it goes. And God is saying, just pick that up for me, this thing here. Ja, maar ek wil nie nou vir my broer sê, ek jammerie, want hy spot my altyd oor die ding, en ek is moeg daarvoor. I want you to live as someone that has been forgiven. So I want you to extend forgiveness. And then when you do it, your heart heals up. What is He doing? He's taking you constantly to sin at its infancy. Can you see this scripture is not about murder and adultery? It is about sin, its anatomy. And the fact that sin runs from infancy to maturity. You can run every sin through the grid. I think I'd like something like that. Envy. Envy is general. I'd like more stuff in my life. My cup is half empty. I'd like more stuff. That's general. It's aimed at no one. What's the next step from envy? Come on, play this game with me. Run it through the grid. Envy leads to jealousy, because jealousy is envy with a name to it. First, I want more in my life, and now as ek jaloers op wil helm. Right? Then it moves to competition. And when it is fully grown, the break of a relationship. Okay, so because envy is not hitting someone in the face, we don't pick it up. And I'll tell you what, one of the powers of our town is it's beautiful, it's the best, it's awesome. Watch out for envy. Kenom. Because it's coming for your marriage for discontent. It's coming for your friendships for competition. It's coming for your joy. So when you see it, that would be the goal of this part of Jesus' scripture. Not only the two examples, but the grid. Are you with me this morning? Right, let's go on. I'm having a good time. I'm doing a little bit better with my notes, I must say. It's saying more of the same thing, but just from a different angle. Sin is a living entity, not a static issue. It's very important. Sonde is meer soos 'n boom as soos 'n klip. Okay? It's not like I murdered someone or not, or I committed this sin or not. It's about knowing it is living and alive, and therefore God, as the antidote, says, I want a living relationship with you also. I want you to walk, put on Christ, and walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to help and navigate you. I'm going to make your life so rich, because the two of us, in wisdom, we're going to be working together, discovering little things that you don't want in your life. And you know what? You're going to be a joy to be married to. Because you're going to be constantly working on your heart, bringing your life before Him, saying sorry to your wife, and then say, waarvan praat jy? But you are gardening well. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed, and He is your co-gardener, and He wants to help you. You know, I haven't been in the ministry as long as people that's been in the ministry longer, okay? How's that for common sense? But I've done at least 15 or 16 years. And you know what people say that gets there to the commission, sins of committing part? I always say the same thing, even if they don't have the words. They're like, we don't know how we got here. Or one of the parties, if it's marriage related, I don't know how I got here. Someone that gets the family in massive debt, I don't know how we got here. I'll tell you how. But now the problem with this is, when it's still an attitudinal sin, no one can see it except you. And so if you don't have transparent friendships, you will always deal with this alone. And you might make judgment mistakes, legendary mistakes. And so, how wonderful is it to have friends that you allow to look into your heart and say, listen, this week this happened in my house, and this is what I said to my children, and there's something here. Can you help me discover, is this a bad thing? And then your friends say, I'm not sure, but let's pray for your heart. What are you doing? You're gardening well. You are keeping watch over your heart. Amen? I also want to say, with sin is a living entity, sin is nothing for God. But let's just dissect it. It's active and living. So it comes to this door of your heart, and once you have set it up, it's going to try another avenue. It's going to try a different one. If you take charge over your laptop, you put up your, block all types of sites that sells this and that or whatever, and you've done your due diligence here, then when you walk in the shop, the enemy would like you, your eye, to catch just the right type of magazine to cause a little bit of a spark up to get you back to where you fail. All right, so just know that sin is alive, but so is the spirit. We're going to get to that. It's not static. That's what Jesus is trying to teach these people and for us. And if your right eye causes you to sin, let's just talk about this, because before anyone goes home and goes into the kitchen and grab like a knife or fork, let's just also do our due diligence here. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members then your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members. What Jesus is saying is go to great lengths to get these guys. I've got friends in this church that have not tasted alcohol for many years because way back before they knew the Lord, they couldn't handle it. Okay? Now, alcohol never had a hold on my life. I consume alcohol, a glass of wine here or there. I've never been drunk. I don't have an issue with that. There's other things I need to stay away from very far. But for my friend that has been there, when he says, I will not drink, even if the people laugh, what he's doing is this. He's cutting away the eye. He's cutting away the hand. He's saying, I'm not going to give one foothold. And you know what these people are like that walks like this? They are weird. They look like people that cut off hands and eyes, and it doesn't make sense. Because what they are doing is they're going all the way to make sure little things don't develop into big things again. So some people have friends that can log onto their phone to see what they are looking at. All right, so it's these absurd things. Quite absurd, eh? That believers go to in order to protect their garden. Because they have tasted what it feels like to walk side by side with God. And it tastes a lot better than any of these other things that they've tasted in the past. And so the length they go to, there was a pastor in America, I read it in his book, he would never get into an elevator with a woman alone. Just because of how people look and say, ah, yeah, you're a fat guy. He said, no, that's my boundary. He had a male PA that traveled to him. What is that? That is, let's get rid of that hand from the start because I'm going to walk before the Lord. What is Jesus asking of us? Because I'm telling you what, sin does not start on the hand. It starts in the heart. All right. So we know he's using figurative speech, but this is what he's asking, figurative speech. He's asking of us the following. Attitudinal sin might be hard to spot in the last point, but it's worth the search. That's what he's saying. Heart sin might be hard to spot, but it's worth the search. Don't be a frantic searcher. Be a faithful worshiper. When you lift him up, I saw the Lord, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and I saw his glory. Oh, wretched man that I am, here is my area. In the face of your greatness, I see my own weakness. I say it to you, I lift it up, I say, Lord, I have adultery in my heart. The moment I say it, he sends help and I'm being repaired. And so what I want to say to us this morning, it's not about evading 1,000 sins, but worshiping one king. Okay? Don't be a ghostbuster. Don't look for a demon behind every chair. Don't do that. Okay? Dit vat baie energie om met jou te werk as jy so is. Okay? Be a worshiper. In the face of his presence, the Spirit comes up and the Spirit puts his finger on your heart, just the area you need to lift up. So that helps us to walk with him. Okay, let's finish on a high because that was, we're now through the piece. Oh, there's still a couple of hard scriptures coming up for Pastor Andries. But we are past the section that you don't put on a birthday card. But let's put it in context. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And read carefully with me. And through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. You don't have to wait for the sin to be in commission stage for relationships to be broken to then search for healing. Garden early on. Trek die goedjies uit. Hulle maak die timie dood. And then I want to say, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And what it means is that those who invite the Holy Spirit, you must be Spirit-filled. Okay? Those who are in the flesh can only see sins of commission. But those who are in the Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, identifies sin on the heart, in the attitudinal phase when it's young. That is a work of a Spirit. It's not the work of a flesh. And so this morning is also an invitation to be excited again, to journey with the Holy Spirit and to have him as your best friend and your counselor and the one who helps you in great wisdom. And not only to journey with the Spirit, but also to journey with a couple of good friends in church. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I probably said too much. You can sit this morning. Holy Spirit, will you take these words from Matthew 5, verse 21 to 30, and help us to love Jesus with a deeper love and even a more devoted heart. Help us to walk on the garden of our hearts with the Holy Spirit as a guide. And may the wisdom of the Holy Spirit help us catch those arrows of the enemy in its infancy. And I actually pray for a boldness, Lord, where we would grow as a community with a willingness to say what we get on our hearts. I pray for us who are pastors and small group leaders and worship leaders to say, hey, I caught something on my heart this week that does not belong there. I had this or that thought, and I'm so glad the Spirit helped me. Lord, make us a people who are not great at concealing, but who has fellowship in the light that we all may be healed. We are broken before you, but we are also being repaired. We love you in this place. We love you. This morning, I want you just to bring your heart before the Lord where you are sitting in. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you take stock op hierdie kwekery wat jou hart is. And maybe there's a couple of things that he points out, and you are so afraid to even say it to the Lord, because you feel if you say it, it's going to make it worse. It will be the opposite. Tell him, Lord, I found a little something on my heart, and it's hard for me to acknowledge it, but I think it's the infancy of adultery. There was this thought that I had a couple of times, or this longing, and I just want to bring it to you, and I pray that you will help me. Oh, Lord, I know that I haven't murdered someone, but there's these infant plans, this anger, this frustration, this offense. I've got a wrestling heart, Lord, because I want you to help me uproot all of the plants of this kind out of my heart to deliver me. Lord, I know you're so good to me. And you love me and bless me and my husband or my wife and my children, but I constantly want more stuff. I realize these little plants of envy that for now maybe seems harmless, but I just want to harvest them all out and fill my garden with gratitude and the fruit of the Spirit. What is that that you want to lift up to him? Take a personal moment this morning to say, Lord, help me, God in my heart. I want you to take a moment this morning, if you are here with a friend or with your spouse. I'm not going to force anyone, if you are alone, to spend some alone time. But won't you take the courage, if you have, just to turn to your friend and just say, hey, what is popping up for you this morning? Maybe if we can have those 4 points up there, that'll be helpful. Just ask your friend, even if you see your friend sitting alone and you want to make your way there, go for it. What is popping up for you this morning? Just it's one way we process as believers. It's one way we fellowship, by sharing our revelations with one another. And so let's take a moment. Vra net wat het vir jou opgepop. Let's go. We've got 2 minutes, then we'll dismiss.